today I am going to read to you from my new book, Freedom from Addiction 3, Chapter 11, The Four Questions. This is the exciting part. If you have never contemplated the four most important spiritual questions in life, nor sought the answers, no wonder your self-esteem is not high enough to save you from the effects of the disease of addiction. There are two equally valid ways of discovering new knowledge. One is observation and the other is contemplation. An example of observation was Newton's discovery that gravity was enforced by watching an apple fall. An example of contemplation was Einstein's discovery of the concept E equals mc squared. The four questions discussed in this chapter and their answers came to me during a time of prayer and meditation through contemplation. Contemplation. On what plane of existence does perfect knowledge now exist? And where does supraconsciousness reside? Truth, light, and understanding live in the attic of one's mind. And mind is the builder of all things large and small. Contemplation is the method to reach one's port of call. Throughout all time, discovery came most by tapping in to the pool of wisdom that connects beginning and end. Newton had his theories. Galileo's world was round. Da Vinci dreamed of flying machines. Mendel's peas sprung from the ground. Einstein contemplated space, mass, relativity. All the world's great thinkers thought thoughts they could not see. The answer to every question has always existed, my friend. The question that needs the answer is, how do we tap in? Remember the scenario of the disease process. Initially, our consciousness had not been expanded sufficiently due to our failure to deal with and understand the four questions. As a result, we had less than adequate sense of our own value or self-worth. We tried to fix this negative feeling with what was common and available, the addictive behaviors. The addictive behaviors and the basic disease process itself cause symptoms like anxiety, depression, loneliness, fear, boredom, emptiness, pain, guilt, unhappiness, resentment, lack of energy, and the need for immediate gratification and pleasure. Between the bad side effects and complications of the addictive behaviors and secondary effects of the symptoms, self-esteem was further damaged and the addictive cycle established. To cure the disease, all that is necessary is to break the cycle. This is done by increasing self-esteem, and the fastest and easiest way to do this is to understand the answer to the four questions. Question number one. Who am I? Humans have a dual heritage. We have an earthly physical component and a spiritual component. We see the earthly component and accept and believe in it. No problem there. We can't see the spiritual part since it is beyond our five senses. So we have problems accepting this part of our being and in believing that we are spiritual creatures also. You won't get very far in this healing program if you can't accept this understanding. It is critical to your self-esteem, and here's why. You know how the physical side works. The father contributes half of the genetic information necessary to form your first cell, and the mother contributes the other half. From this first cell, every other cell in your body is formed. Therefore, you are actually part of your parents and have their characteristics. Now, the spiritual side works the same way. Your spiritual creator is God, and since God is your spiritual father, you have in that part of your heritage his characteristics. This part of you is perfect because your spiritual father is perfect. Remember that most people refer to Jesus as Jesus Christ, and that dual name implies a dual heritage. Jesus from the physical side and Christ from the spiritual side. Now tell me, if you really believe what I've just told you, and you answered the question this way, how would you see yourself and your self-worth? Knowing that part of you is perfect, could you think of yourself as worthless or not good enough anymore? How could you, knowing this truth, continue to hurt and mistreat such a valuable treasure? Would this information cause you to be kinder to yourself and love yourself more? At this point, some of the readers are going to say, I'm not convinced. That's just your opinion. Well, I can make any number of arguments to support my case, but let me give you two to consider. In the first place, for those of you who embrace the Christian faith, Jesus, the founder of that religion, once said in front of a group of ordinary people when teaching them how to pray, Our Father. Remember the beginning of the Lord's Prayer? He didn't say, My Father, which would have made a distinction between him and all the others to whom he was speaking. He said, Our Father, which should reasonably indicate that Jesus believed that we had the same spiritual father. Obviously, he was not referring to his earthly father. Jesus believed he was the spiritual son of God and that all the people he was addressing were also the spiritual sons and daughters of God. The second point I would like to make is that this is a practical belief. Without this belief, you will be not able to generate enough self-esteem to stop your suffering and cure the disease. Without it, you won't. Later, I will explain affirmations and how to use them to quickly change the way you think about things. Your affirmation to accomplish this part of the program is, I am a child of God. Question number two. Where did I come from? The second question implies something different than Baptist Hospital. The significant answer deals with one's spiritual origin. The question is a continuation and development of the first question. Obviously, if one has accepting problems with the first question, then there will be a lot of confusion about the second one. If you accept the premise that you are a child of God, then it is reasonable to believe that you came from God initially. We could get into a philosophical discussion of religion, but That is not absolutely necessary to understand the importance of developing one's self-esteem by the proper answer to this question. If you are God's child, then your problems are His problems. Of course, He is much better at fighting your battles and solving your problems than you will ever be. Most clients who are successful with this program answer the question by affirming, "I came from God." Question number 3. What am I doing here? This is the question that most of us have not yet significantly considered nor tried to answer in a meaningful way. Still, each of us has a purpose or destiny to justify our creation. Can you see that if you had a destiny, something you felt to be very worthwhile and something that you knew you must accomplish before you died, that your priorities would be different? You'd look at your relationship to other people differently. You'd have a different way of looking at yourself, and you'd have a vested interest in protecting yourself from harm, lest you were not able to accomplish your purpose. Having a purpose dramatically increases one's self-esteem, and this is why it is absolutely necessary to satisfactorily answer this question. For many of us, the answer is that my purpose is to go to a job so I can make enough money on which to live. This is not good enough because it is not a highly self-esteeming answer. Alternatively, few people would argue with the concept that service to others is a very worthwhile endeavor in life. Service to others is a life purpose that increases self-esteem. We can all accomplish service to others, but we don't all do it the same way. Each of us has different talents, different interests, different needs, and different concerns. It is our individual responsibility to find the answer to this question and then to act on it. It doesn't matter as much what you believe your destiny to be as long as you have a destiny to believe in. Here's the question to ask yourself. If I didn't have to worry about what anybody thought, not my parents, not my wife or husband, not my children, not society in general, and if I had no limitations, neither financial, educational, nor of any other kind, what would I want to accomplish in this life that would make me the happiest, the most contented, and best justify my existence? Now, repeat this affirmation. God, I'm ready to learn my true destiny. Give me a burning desire for something to accomplish with my life. Simply ask the question, continually repeat the affirmation, and wait on the answer. It will come. Meditation will speed up the process. The other part of the answer to this question, and it is interconnected to what we just discussed, is that we are here, much as being in school, to learn lessons and grow and develop spiritually. We often accomplish significant progress toward this goal by service to others. The fathering of one's true heart's desire may change the whole universe. Whatever your heart's burning desire turns out to be is okay. That's your correct destiny. But destinies can change, and they do. If sometime in the future you feel your purpose in life has changed, fine. Go with the new purpose. One thing you can absolutely count on in life is that things change. Your affirmation here could be, I am here to do God's will in my life and thereby fulfill my destiny. Question number 4. Where am I going when I'm done? Fear, and the fear of death in particular, is one of the most universal characteristics found in people who suffer from addictive behaviors. Fear of death, depending on the survey, is the first or second greatest fear we have. Fear in general seems to stop spiritual development dead in its tracks. Actually, there are only 3 commonly held beliefs about death, and none of them need to be particularly terrifying. The first belief is that when we die, we merely cease to exist. The electricity is turned off, the lights go out, no afterlife, nothing. You just cease to exist. If that were the case, we can be sorry that we didn't live longer, but there is no reason to be afraid of this scenario. The second belief is that there is a heaven and a hell, and that we go to one or the other depending on how we lived our lives and what we believed religiously. If one believes in this scenario, one merely has to do what is prescribed by the religious teachings he or she has been taught, and then one automatically goes to heaven. This too is not frightening. The third commonly held belief is that the soul cannot be destroyed and continues on forever, whether it is in a physical body or not. Reincarnation is the name of the plan that allows the soul to re-inhabit another physical form at a later time with the object of continued spiritual growth. In this view, death is merely a temporary transition from one state to another. If one understands that there is really nothing to fear in death, one can live more fully and can focus on the essence of life and in accomplishing one's destiny. Ridding oneself of this fear empowers the individual and increases his or her self-esteem. Death be not feared. When life deals misfortune, be it terribly cruel, have strength to continue like thread on a spool. Whatever your trouble, of whatever kind, have courage and faith. Face your danger in time. If doubt seems to plague you, it's good for your health. Share your courage with others. Keep your fear to yourself. 'Cause it's not what you've lost, but what you have left. The fear of surviving should not end in death. For fear of the unknown plays tricks on your mind. First this way, then that way, no comfort you find. And not knowing the future is unnerving at best, but not bowing to fear is the ultimate test. Have courage on ending. Death be not feared. Remember with pleasure the course that you've steered. And remember that death is not dark and cold. It's merely the carriage to transport your soul to the next step in living, to peace, truth, and light. Your developing spirit can sense that it's right. And as you pass over, don't be afraid, for in ending one cycle, another is made. Now, give up your body if its day is done, and exchange it for spirit. Your victory is won. Your affirmation for question 4 could be answered as, when I'm done, I will return to God. This is the 11th chapter of Freedom from Addiction 3. I hope this understanding helps you and guides you on your journey.